Welcome to the Nationwide Podcast. This is officially season three. And we are starting off this season with a bang. Our guest today, he is somebody who is all over social media and has been in the limelight for the last few years, but I'm going to just go ahead and let him introduce himself.
Ooh, okay, put me on the spot. But I mean, I came here to talk about myself, so I guess I'm put on the spot. So yes, peoples, I am known online as Lou the Bajan, also go by Lucius the Lion. I am a content creator, spoken word artist. I mark myself an artist who paints with words that do spoken word. And I'm just a very, let's say, high-octane energy person that enjoys making content, enjoys the fact that I live in Barbados. I think Barbados is one of the best countries in the world. Hashtag not biased. Not like I call myself Lou the Bajan or anything. So, but yeah, I make content. I paint pictures with words. And I like to entertain people. That's the best way to explain it.
I love that. I think that definitely captures everything that you are for sure.
Yes, right. Please.
So just now you mentioned, well, there's Lou the Bajan, and then also Lucius
the Lion.
Tell me about that.
Okay, so there's a lot to that, but it's something that I have had to get better at over the last couple of years is how do I explain something without having to spend an hour explaining it? Uh-huh. So like, understand, this could technically be a two-hour conversation. I'm about to try to think it down like 2 to 5 minutes. So my government name is Lucius Louis. Uh-huh. I'm actually named after my father. My father is Lucius Louis. So like all my life, I shared a name with someone. Mm-hmm. And then when I wanted to really, like, you know, you become an adult, young adult and stuff like that, and you want to differentiate yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like, I was the second Lucius, uh-huh, but I wanted to be the number one something. So that's where Lou the Bajan came on. So like, a lot of people used to call me Lou in terms of nickname and stuff like that versus like Lucius and that kind of thing. So, and I just love the fact of Barbados. And it was specifically in 2021 when we became a republic, especially also seeing like Rihanna become the national hero. Like, that's a whole other conversation. She is the reason I even believe I could do anything. Seeing that she walked the same streets I walked and was able to put Barbados in the map, she made me believe I can actually be something. Yeah. Seeing Barbados become a republic, seeing she become a national hero just put so much pride in my soul. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be Lou the Bajan. So when I started my social media journey back in 2022, I was Lou the Bajan. Where it comes to Lucius the Lion, it is more after a couple years of like being Lou the Bajan and stuff, that growing, learning, that kind of thing. So I fell back in love with my name. Lucius is a top tier name.
It is. Lucius Lion, Empire.
Yes, so here's the thing that I can ask a lot of people. People will hear Lucius Lion. Oh, you get a name from Empire? Technically, no. Technically, I did not get the name from Empire because I was Lucius before the show came out. And I'm a Leo. So I've been a Lion. I have been Lucius, a Lion, long before the show. But did the show influence me to call myself that? 100%. Because I really wanted to like channel that energy of building up your empire, family, and stuff like that. So I call myself Lucius the Lion. And here's the difference. My Lucius is L-U-C-I-U-S. In the show, it's L-U-C-I-O-U-S. Ah. And his Lion is L-Y-O-N, versus I am Lion, L-I-O-N.
The actual Lion.
And then it's Lucius the Lion. Mm. So did I steal my name from Empire? No, I had the name Lucius the Lion before Empire, but it definitely influenced the decision for me to call myself Lucius the Lion. So that is a very, very condensed version of going from Lou the Bajan, going from Lucius to Lou the Bajan to going back to Lucius, technically.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for walking us through that journey in a very condensed way.
All right. Yes.
Now, let us take it back all to the beginning, to your beginning. When majority of Barbadians got to know you, it was from the decision to take a walk from the airport.
All the way
to UE Cavill campus. So, what even inspired that walk for you, and what inspired you to even get into content creation?
Okay, so I got to break that down. Mm-hmm. First question, what inspired me to get into content creation?
Yeah.
I always wanted to make films. I remember when I was younger, I used to watch movies. And you know how your parents say, if you're doing something yourself, like, what are you doing? So I used to hear my mother say this all the time. Man, why are you watching all these movies? These people done make the millions. And then in my head, it's like, wait, you can do something you love and make money from it. I was like, I want to make movies. Mm. So from a young age, I was always wanting to be make movies, film director, and that kind of thing. So, and then I grew up in 2000. So in my teenage years, YouTube was a thing.
Yeah.
I started watching YouTube. I remember specifically in 2018, Mr. Beast, which is, if you don't know who Mr. Beast is, I don't know how to explain that at this point. Because if you're on the internet, you know who Mr. Beast. But Mr. Beast is the biggest YouTube creator in the world. Biggest creator in the world. And I watched him go from, when I found him, he was at 10 million subscribers. And I watched him to, honestly, some disgusting number, like 400 million or something at this point. And I remember he was the first person I ever watched that took this to such an extreme. Like, I remember the first video I saw, I didn't watch it, it was like, I count to 100,000, which was like a 40 hour or something like that. And then watching this content, he used to do some of the most mundane things, but bring it to such an extreme. Mm-hmm. So like, my earring just followed, but you know what? That's all cool. Watching Mr. Beast, it was because of watching Mr. Beast, I said, you know what, I want to be a content creator. So even though I still want to do film, that my goal shifted to that. But then coming on to 2022, it was a situation where the realities of life was starting to get really heavy. And I have always had a dream of being a content creator. Yeah. And before going into too much details personally, I was at a place where I had to either give up on my dream and survive, or do the Hail Mary. Now, I did what I would call the crazy decision. I said, you know what? Let me do the Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. I want to do content. And the thing that was stopping me was the fact that I saw that Barbies was a part of the YouTube Partner Program.
Yep.
Which in the shortest space of time, if you don't know what that is you post videos on YouTube, people watch the videos on YouTube, YouTube pay you money for it. Simple. Even if you was able to get the amount of views, you can't be paid in Barbies. And for me, as someone that wanted to be a content creator at the time, I saw that as, oh, this is my problem. How do I fix the problem? I was like, you know what? Let me start a petition. That was the easy part. I was like, how do I get people to know what this petition is about? I was like, you know what? What would Mr. Beast do? And I said, he would do something mundane, but take it to such an extreme that when people hear it, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? I'm going to walk from Grantley Adams all the way along the ABC Highway to Huey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the decision. So it was, I was in a place in my life where I basically had to give up on my dream and basically get a job and go into reality or take the Hail Mary decision. And I decided to take the Hail Mary decision to start a petition and do that walk. And yeah, now what that walk showed me and the interaction with people within the industry, because I was basically a nobody before then. Nobody knew me, know my face, anything. So doing that walk and then having a conversation with people, it made me realize that Barbies not being part of the YouTube Partner Program wasn't a problem. It was a symptom of a much bigger issue, that being a lack of holistic support for creators and the creative industry. And I remember from that point, I was like, okay, it's not that I gave up the fight. I realized that the avenue that I was pushing out wouldn't have really bring a lot of change. So I kind of went into more long-term strategic mode of seeing what's the problem, but then also I needed to build up myself in terms of my name and image and that kind of thing. So, and you say 2022, that feels like three lifetimes ago, not even one, like three lifetimes ago. So much, but yeah. Did I answer everything on that question?
You did. Well, since that walk, your content has ranged so many different topics, but one thing that consistently comes out, I would say, is mental health. Mental health definitely is an important topic for you. Why do you believe that, you know, using your art to speak about mental health is essential right now?
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Okay, so I am slightly a contrarian. Slightly.
Slightly? Only slightly?
Only slightly. I wouldn't say that I am a mental health advocate because I care a lot about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
I just struggle a lot with my own.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, on some level, I feel like all I have in this world, realistically, when you take away everything, is the fact that I got a platform. I put a video on and somebody, whether in Barbados or somewhere around the world, can watch it. So mental health is not something I was like, you know what? I want to be a mental health advocate because I see all the people going through things. It's like, I am going through a lot. I don't know how to deal with it and that kind of thing. So, and then in terms of how I really became a mental health advocate, I accidentally fell into becoming a mental health advocate. Let me tell you what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Life got hard, really, really hard. I didn't know what to do. So I said, you know what? I need a break from life. Let me send myself to the Black Rock Psychiatric Hospital for a little bit to get a little reset and go from that. And when I did that, I remember this vividly. My family, I remember they came and visit me. I was like, oh, I didn't tell nobody that X, Y, and Z. And in my head, it's like, did not tell nobody. It's like, as soon as I get out here, I can make a video telling everybody. Because at the end of the day, that's all I have. Like, when I stripped down everything else in my life, I got HCSCs. I went to BCC. I dropped out. That was the time my brother died in a car accident. I couldn't finish it. Then I went to UE in 2018, but I was working and going to school, and that was a different kind of hell. I wasn't able to do that, so I dropped out. And then back in 2022, I went back to UE, but I had to then drop out due to financial difficulties. I plan on going back. Still plan on getting my papers. Not there yet.
Love that.
But like, mm-hmm. on some level, it felt like the only thing that I really have to my name in this world is the fact that I have a platform. So here I went through something. Let me just tell y'all about it. You know, so that it don't got to be this burden, that kind of thing. So, and what was interesting to me about this, and this is why I said that I fell into it. People come to me and say that I was brave. In my head, I didn't think it was brave. I think of it as I just a guy on the internet going on the internet crying about my problems. Like I got other people with such bigger problems. I do not have no children. I still live with my mother, so I don't have like big bills and stuff. That I am very privileged on some level. I see that people got much bigger problems than me, but they don't got a platform where hundreds of thousands of people can watch them. So I did not see it as brave, but apparently a lot of people did. And apparently it really did allow a lot of people to be seen, because the amount of people that have come to me since then that say, yeah, I actually spent some time there, but I could never tell people about that and that kind of thing. So, and especially when I first do the video, opening social media was scary because I would just open the message and people just trauma dump on me. I'm like, I do not have the ability to deal with this. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of why I then got into the advocacy part of it. Not because I wanted to advocate. It was more of, hey, people are coming to me with their mental health problems. I do not have the ability to deal with it. Take them. Like, come to me. Let me push them that way, because I am not trained for this.
Right.
I did not have a need in my bone to want to be a mental health advocate. I simply was going through problems, didn't know how to deal with it, sent myself to the psychiatric hospital, I went on the internet and cried about my problems, and people enjoyed the fact that I cried about my problems. So I accidentally fell into it, and this is why I say kind of contrarian. It's not that I care about mental health, I just struggle a lot with my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I be honest and open about it.
Do you think that sharing those challenges has been something that's been healing for you?
Oh, 110%. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you why it's been healing. It allows me to have people in my life that see me and have sympathy.
Yeah.
Like, I have one of the things I struggle with is the idea of perfection.
Right.
I just hold myself to such a high standard that it does be crazy. Like I deciding I walk from Grand Island's airport to UE. Like, that's a high standard. Like, that's, I like to push myself. So because I have been so open about my struggles, I just find people that just be so understanding. And then they just also help me not be so hard on myself, because they just be like, you don't gotta do this, you don't gotta do this, that kind of thing. So we understand, we care, that kind of thing. So it's definitely been healing.
Mm-hmm.
Really does healing. But at the same time, I just also be cognizant that I don't want to only be have my content only go and talk about my problems. So right. that's like truthfully, if you go and look on my page, there are certain periods where I kind of don't post. Mm-hmm. Those are the periods where I do have my own struggles. And even though I know that I could come on the internet, talk about it, get a ton of views, ton of engagement, ton of support, it's like at the end of the day, people got harder than me. I privilege on some level to be able to come and talk about these things. So I don't want to make my whole content come and complain about my problems, because one time is okay. Mm-hmm. After the 10th time, people get tired of hearing you. Get me?
Yeah.
Because again, people see it as brave. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's brave. I just going on the internet crying about my problems, and I don't want to make my content simply cry about my problems, because when you look at it, there are so much people going through so much more things correct. Than me, and they do not have the avenue mm-hmm. to go and talk about it. I have hundreds and thousands of people see it and engage and talk to you.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful, man. And I'm happy that you found a community to help support you in these things. And interestingly enough, from looking at your content, you know, it's not just always about you. You've used your platform to speak about some of the most important topics that are going on in Barbados. And one of them, you recently did another walk. This time you went from all the way in St. Lucie and you came down to Christchurch.
So, yeah, I walked and left for the island.
Yeah, man. Kudos to you. But I know there was a deeper meaning behind that walk. So, yeah, let me get into that.
This one hits the core.
Mm-hmm.
So on March 25th, 2025, on the Silver Hill basketball court, while a netball game was playing, some men came and opened fire, and unfortunately, 13-year-old Jonathan Chase lost his life to a gun. Now, when the shooting happened, I was actually outside less than 100 meters when it happened. I remember hearing the shooting go off. First thing I do, call my mother, because obviously we're here telling mommy I'm good. I come inside. I went inside. I heard saying that someone, a 13-year-old, got shot. Didn't know who it was. It was until the next morning when I saw pictures on social media of the boy that died. I was like, wait, I know that. That's Baby. His nickname was Baby. Like, I knew him personally. Like, he used to be in my house and all kind of things. I know his family. And I remember deciding to make a video that same morning, because I knew how it is. Like, Silver Hill is a place. That's where I live. Silver Hill is a place where, unfortunately, these kinds of things have happened before. I know how these things can be used as political footballs, so people just having to say. And it was like, I used the fact that I have a platform, I used the fact that I was there to be like, this is a situation, let's deal with it with the kind of respect it needs to, which I actually kind of saw, which was kind of crazy to me at the time. I saw that there was a certain level of respect when they come and talking about it. But the reason I did the walk was, right now we are doing this interview at the tail end of February in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
There has been multiple court cases. Yes, some people have been charged, but the court cases, family going, they keep getting journeyed. But then one time I waited over an hour to go into the court to be there for less than 60 seconds to hear the case adjourned. No justice was happening. And I remember when it first happened, everybody was there supporting all kind of things. So, but over time, business just went on as usual. The family's there. Every time I go and visit the family, it's not like that visceral pain as it was before.
Right.
But it's that underlying pain, and they used to see it. And then something that, this is a factor that a lot of people don't know about this situation that just hit me to my core. Shanta's mother wasn't in the island, but she was on the phone with her husband when the shots went off.
Oh, wow.
She heard the shots that ended her son's life,
mm-hmm.
left her son alive in Barbados to go to Guyana to a funeral, and came back to her son's dead with bullet holes in her.
Wow. Yeah.
And this keeps me up at night. And as someone that did talk about it and that kind of thing, so I felt like Barbados had forgotten who Jonathan was.
Mm.
And I don't know how to solve the problem, but I needed to do something to bring attention to it. So I decided, let me do what I know what to do. Make content, entertain people, and bring attention.
Mm.
And the attention from the walk wasn't for me. It was to bring awareness to the petition. Like, at the end of the day, the petition making, the amount of signatures or not, that wasn't the ultimate goal. It was to have conversations again, bring back conversations, and for the people that are in the positions of power to be able to do something about it, say something needs to be done, because this is a crisis. When our children start dying, it's time to say enough is enough. So for me, it's easier to walk from St. Lucie to Christchurch mm-hmm. than it is to live every day with the pain of knowing this boy is gone. And his family can't seem to get no justice. Mm-hmm. So I remember one final thing on that. I remember this is especially when it's just after he died. His mom came to me and was like, I want to thank you for everything that you did for Jonathan. And I was like, Mom, don't thank me. Because I would trade all the attention in the world for you to have one more minute with your son. I wish Barbados didn't know his name. I was like, I don't want the thanks and praise for this. Like, people just come and say, thank you for watching. And for me, I wish that he was not in the ground. I wish. And as someone, I unfortunately have had an incident of a gun pull on me. Thankfully, my mother didn't have to lose a son that day. But my thought is like, what if it was me that lost my life on the 25th? I will hope that someone fight as much for me as they try to fight for Shonton for justice to happen. Like, this is, I wish people didn't know his name. Mm-hmm. I wish he was here, so. Yeah. Damn.
That's okay.
Ooh.
That's all right, man. It's all part of the healing process.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, from doing that, from the walk, bringing awareness, what has the response been like from persons? What have they been saying to you?
Absolutely overwhelming. The amount of people say that they respect me, that they could, what they did give chills, they don't, the outpouring is crazy. Like, the walk itself on TikTok Live, I don't know how much people understand how TikTok Live works. You can double tap the screen and that's one like. I had like 8,000 people pass through at 1.294 people who was max people watching the same thing. They tap up the screen to 1.3 million likes. Wow. And even to today, less saying that number doesn't even make sense to me. Like, the support on it was crazy. And it really did at least bring back awareness to it. I mean, at the end, it's hard to still try to bring attention to it because I still got my own struggles in life and that kind of thing. So, but people really respect me and support me for trying to make a difference. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's what's important. And that is what has made you a really phenomenal content creator in Barbados. Truly caring and using that care for people and about the Barbadian society to try to make a change, to try to bring awareness to problems. And everything that you've been doing has been fantastic, Lou. Fantastic. So keep it up. And what can we expect from you going forward? I mean, the year has just started, but what are your plans? Last year you did NIFCA. You made it all the way to the finals.
Yeah.
What can we expect from Lou this year in 2026?
Well, for Lucius the Lion, also known online as Lou the Bajan, I'm currently in the middle of the transition of doing content creation full-time. Ever since I did that walk, in terms of my life, it's absolute crazy support. Like, I just have thousands of people. Like, in the last 28 days, I have had 43,000 unique people pass through my life with 50% Barbados, like 12% UK and stuff like that. And I'm having people coming to me all the time. Oh, I'm coming to Barbados. Where's a good place to stay? Where can I find something to eat? So I am at a place now where I want to do content full time. And the first focus is trying to get some sponsorship because I have a whole set of audience who their first point of connection to Barbados is me. And they see me as the voice of authority for Barbados. So I am actually in the process of trying to get businesses who provide things that they will want for sponsorship so I can do this more. And then I got my audience, which, by the way, shout out to my audience, the tappers, the gifters, like, y'all are amazing. They're currently on me right now, so they got merch. They want merch from me. So, like, sure. Content creation full-time and pushing it and doing it, more poetry and that kind of stuff is what's in it for me. Just going about it, I'm not perfect, but you know what? I try really hard.
And that's what matters the most. But for sure, we will be looking out for
thank you
all those things, for the merch, the performances. We will be looking out for it. And Lou, thank you for, you know, being here with us on
thank the you Nation for inviting me.
It has been our pleasure, really. And you know, you are the first for season 3.
Big up.
Yeah.
So you know, they say third time's the charm. So
come on. Clock it. So so thank you for definitely starting us off with a bang, yes, and we look forward to more great things from you.
Thank you.
Yes, and wait, Handshake, come on. Salute. Yes. And thank you to all our viewers. Nationwide Podcast would not be anything without you. So thank you so much for being with us the last two seasons and for sticking with us for another season. And for sure, look out for our podcasts as they come. And we will see you next time.